Literary legend Eudora Welty died on Monday at the age of 92. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has an appreciation and a look forward.
Eudora Welty belonged to that grand tradition of the demure lady writer with a gimlet eye. It's a lineage that extends from Jane Austen through Emily Dickinson and Harriet Beecher Stowe into the 20th century, with, among others, Agatha Christie, Barbara Pym, Anita Bruckner, and Welty herself. By most accounts, all these women were or are shy, deferential, wallflower types. But on paper, they're elegantly sarcastic, irreverent, and strangely calm about recording eruptions of evil that would make a strong man tremble. Like Agatha Christie in particular, Eudora Welty seems to have cultivated a personal dullness so that the curious world would move on by and leave her alone to write. But critics were always trying to pry into the sources of her rueful, often dark vision. For instance, a biography of Welty I reviewed a few years ago dwelt a lot on her appearance. Welty was undeniably homely, and her male biographer made much of that fact, patronizingly speculating that to be a plain girl in the Old South of Welty's youth was a tragedy that forever marked her soul. Maybe, but being no beauty certainly didn't put a crimp in the ego or sexual style of another Southern woman of roughly the same generation, Lillian Hellman. Another critic, the otherwise wonderful feminist literary scholar Carolyn Heilbrun, really ripped into Welty in her best-selling popular study of women's biographies and autobiographies, Writing a Woman's Life. Heilbrun thought that Welty's 1984 autobiography, One Writer's Beginnings, was dishonest because it discreetly skated over whatever dysfunction or dirt existed in her charmed Mississippi childhood. Nostalgia, pronounces Heilbrun, particularly for childhood, is likely to be a mask for unrecognized anger. For years, I religiously quoted that sentence to my students in the women's autobiography course I teach, and we all dutifully read Welty's bittersweet memoir, which my students always loved, sifting through paragraphs for traces of rage. We always came up empty. And then one semester, I threw out Heilbrun's criticism and just decided that, in some rare people, a sharp intelligence can coexist with happiness and placidity of character. Welty herself advised readers not to look for the origins of her complex, unflappable literary vision in her life. In the last sentence of One Writer's Beginnings, she says, "I am a writer who came of a sheltered life. A sheltered life can be a daring life as well. For all serious daring starts from within." My favorite Welty story, and I by no means read them all, is the classic Why I Live at the P.O. That's the one where a hilariously narcissistic young female narrator, who's the postmistress of a tiny southern town, tries to justify why she's moved out on her mean and madcap family. There's fodder for a decade's worth of therapy compressed in the opening paragraph of that story, and I thought about reading it aloud here as a tribute to Welty's genius, but I just don't have the right accent. I know it's considered reductive to talk about Welty as a Southern writer, but come on. The voice of Welty's marvelous stories is as rich as the Mississippi mud. Native New Yorkers like me can only gratefully wallow in it with our mouths shut. When I heard the news that Eudora Welty died, I was deep into a new short story collection by one of Welty's inheritors, Bobby Ann Mason, another of the South's peculiar daughters. Mason's collection, Zigzagging Down a Wild Trail, is filled with funny and regretful stories about Southerners at home and far away, in London, Saudi Arabia, California. In addition to being more far-flung, Mason's characters are raunchier than Welty's, but they often share the same shrewd, skewed take on life. Mason's characters are mostly just getting by, giving themselves the occasional kick with booze or bus trips to the casino or stints in the National Guard. In one of the most compelling stories, called Tunica, a young woman named Liz tries to cut all ties with her estranged husband, a drug dealer, but he's just too seductive. Mason writes, "Liz's friends frequently instructed her on what she ought to do, like file a restraining order against her husband, sign up for kickboxing, join some support group or other. But Liz stubbornly resisted. everybody had an answer and a 7-step program. There were more answers than questions anymore, she believed. With white gloves on or off, reveling in the questions, the sheer strangeness of all that is unknowable is a pleasure the intrepid Welty and the impudent Mason both share. Keats would have called it negative capability. Welty merely would have smiled.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Zigzagging Down a Wild Trail by Bobby Ann Mason. This is Fresh Air.